Part 3, Chapter 3, in which Harvey climbs a tree. Quote, "He deserves paradise who makes his companions laugh." From the Quran. Hesiod's house was at the north end of Salt Lake City, and his mother, worried about her son's lateness, was waiting when the group arrived. Footnote. The learned Roland Twelves, in an interview with the editor, had the following to say about his home. "The gods smiled on Utah in the 70s. It was the undiscovered country Californians joked about, until they destroyed their own state and went in search of another. It was a land of spaces, unspoiled by human hands. It was school without guns, home without video, and childhood out of doors. Even Salt Lake City lived in hand-me-down clothes and had streets that seemed too wide. It was a place where shopkeepers knew each other's names, and people dressed up to go downtown. Somehow it survived the 80s, but then the 90s changed it." From RT's collection of interviews, Come Gather Round People, Damuir Press, Salt Lake City, 2019. Back to the text. Hesiod's mother, worried about her son's lateness, was waiting when the group arrived. She insisted they all have something to eat. "Arf, arf, arf, arf," said Argos. "What did he say?" asked Prometheus, turning to Harvey. "He said, 'What about me?'" translated Harvey. "He can come to my house," said Prometheus. "Arf, arf, arf, arf," asked Harvey. "Arf, arf, 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 arf," answered Argos. "He says he'd love to," translated Harvey. While Argos left with Prometheus, the others followed Hesiod. They were not surprised to find the house filled with visitors. "Dinner's on," called a man from the kitchen. "Oh, Tantalus," said a woman sitting near the door, "what have you cooked up this time?" "Just a little something I found around the house," he said. The woman noticed Hesiod and his friends and motioned them to the table. "I'm Demeter," she said. "Let me know if there's something you want." The group looked at the plethora of dishes on the table and couldn't imagine there might be anything else they would need. "Oh, Tantalus," continued Demeter, taking her first bite. "What is this?" "Souvlaki ke Peloponnesus," he said, stretching for a carafe that was just out of reach. "I got the recipe from Atreus." The wine was unmixed and red and worked quickly on its consumers. In no time the conversation was a chaos of sound. "Oh, Laius," said Minos, "I have found the most beautiful white bull." "I hope so," said Jocasta, "but he swears we'll never have a child." "Has anyone seen my son?" asked Thyestes.
"You could get him drunk," said Persephone.
"If you really loved him, you'd do it," said Antigone. "Have some more wine," said Jocasta.
"We could build a wooden cow," said Daedalus, "but we'd have to hide it."
"Has anyone seen my son?" repeated Thyestes.
"We could hide it in the palace," said Pasiphae.
"A sweat lodge," said Thales, "you know, in a tree."
"In a tree?" said Icarus.
"Sure, and then we could..."
When the carafes were empty, Demeter asked Harvey to get another wineskin from the porch. But as soon as he stepped outside, a cloud caught his attention. He followed it to a large cemetery whose streets were lined with pines. It was empty except for some squirrels that were playing on the grass. One of them rushed up and sniffed Harvey, then scurried up a tree. Instinctively, the captain followed. The pine was a large one, growing at the end of a row of maples that bordered a small path. From the upper branches, Harvey could see the Wasatch Mountains to the east, the city to the south, and the Great Salt Lake to the west. He sat in the shade and relaxed, until a robin landed next to him and ducked into its nest.
A nest, thought Harvey. He found a rope and some boards at the cemetery dump and carried them back to his tree. Raising the boards with the rope, he began to lay them across the branches where they were level and well spaced. The first floor was to circle one half of the tree's circumference, the second to continue at 3 feet above the first, and the third to circle at 3 feet above the second. The boards of the third floor would cover those of the first and serve as a roof, while the branches would conceal each level from view. It took the captain 2 days to complete the work, and he was just making a rope ladder when he saw a man coming across the green. The man was talking as he walked. As Apollo was chasing the fair, Daphne she vanished in air. He could find but a shrub with thick bark on the hub, and not even a knothole to spare. Prometheus! Called Harvey. Harvey! Called Prometheus. The captain lowered the ladder, and Prometheus began to climb. But the knot Harvey had tied was not willing to hold the weight of his friend, and it gave way before he reached to the top. His visitor hit with a thud. Prometheus! Said Harvey, scurrying to the ground. Harvey! Said Prometheus, regaining his senses. When his head began to clear, Prometheus remembered he was on his way to visit Thales and the others at their new apartment. He invited Harvey to join him, and they made their way out of the cemetery. The walk took them through the wide and untrafficked streets of the lower avenues. It was a familiar walk for Prometheus, for the houses and yards had scarcely changed since he was born. In fact, there were few things that changed in Salt Lake City in the 70s, and a person enjoying an afternoon walk one day could expect the same pleasure the next. It wasn't until the 90s that the sparsely traveled streets, with their blooming fragrances and neighborhood sounds, were inundated by the onslaught of new businesses, crowds, and rude automobiles. Prometheus was animated by the walk, as was Harvey, and the familiarity of the streets made it easy to imagine he was the child he had been when he first walked them. Soon they were running and jumping, sinking in the soft earth of gardens, crawling through holes in the hedges, climbing over fences, and cutting through yards. Near the corner of 6th Avenue and I Street, they heard music coming from a duplex apartment and climbed the external stairs to the second floor. "A burnt offering!" cried Thales, when his friends stepped through the door. "Yes!" cried Anaximenes, rising from the couch and lifting a golden censer. "To Zeus in heaven and Hades in hell," said Anaximenes, "accept this humble offering raised from the fibers of a virgin and seedless beast. Protect our friends as they journey to join us here tonight, and bless us as we embark on this alien and uncharted sea." Anaximenes lit the censer and passed it to Harvey, who, believing it was some sort of pipe, opened its hatch and took a draw, covering his face in ash. A wave of laughter washed over the room, broken only when two more friends stepped through the door. "Pan!" yelled the group. "Epicurus!" In no time the party was a chaos of sound. "Arrgh!" growled Prometheus. "It's like a dull ache," said Hesiod. "A dull ache," echoed Anaximenes. "No, it's like this," said Thales, leaping over a chair in the middle of the room, catching his foot, and tumbling to the floor. "Oops," he said. "J.D. and B.," said Epicurus. "J.D. and B.." Another friend arrived with a shopping cart full of beer, and the group scrambled for the refreshments and finished them in a trice. "Aye!" yelled Tithonus, lifting the cart and throwing it off the porch. It crashed on the rocks below. He rushed to retrieve it and throw it off again, and soon the whole group was setting the cart in flight. Finally, they wheeled it into the steep avenue in front of the apartment and let it go. "Whee!" said the cart as it screamed down the street. Harvey followed it while the others made another offering.
"I propose a toast," said Anaximenes, "to the Treehouse Lounge."
"To the Treehouse Lounge," said the group.
"Dedicated to..."
"To what?" said Hesiod.
"To the cultivation of laughter," said Thales.
"Yes," said Anaximenes, "the cultivation of laughter, that most perfect form of communication, bonding even opposite and incompatible spirits."
"To laughter," toasted Hesiod. "To laughter," toasted the others.
"But what shall we laugh at?" said Hesiod.
"At ourselves," shouted Prometheus.
"At ourselves," toasted the others. That night, when Harvey walked home, his spirit was wild with emotion. He had never had so many friends. Only Mahogany was missing, and he tried to imagine where Mahogany might be. Had he returned to see Idothea? Or was he still in Nice, stuck in limbo while Harvey lingered in the past? The captain tried not to think about it, but when he reached his tree and settled down to bed, he was reminded by the sound of a train in the distance.